Welcome back, everybody, to Four Winds Fellowships. We are in module number 2 in our Bereans Bible Institute. This series is on God and His Son. We call it Pristine Apostolic Monotheism. It is the view of God and His Son that was held by the very earliest Christians after the time of the apostles. In upcoming lessons, we're going to look at some quotes from them to show the continuity with what we've been teaching. But for now, we're going to continue on. I said last time that we were going to pick up with the topic of wisdom in Proverbs and how that is applied to Christ in the New Testament, particularly by Paul. But before I get into that, I think I need to continue a little bit more in the Gospel of John. We started out in this section on John with his prologue and showing how that John used the Genesis creation account as sort of the kickoff of his prologue in John chapter 1, with the statement, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things originated through Him, and without Him nothing originated." So it's clear if this is the passage that John chose to use as the backdrop for his gospel and placing Christ at the very beginning of the creation, that this idea of Christ's pre-human existence is going to be a major theme throughout John's gospel, because he starts it off that way, sort of with a bang in the first chapter. Now, we also looked at quite a few points that he made in chapter 1. One of the points he made was that John the Baptist bore witness or testimony to Christ's pre-existence. And we saw that in the first several verses of John's gospel. The main point that the writer, the Apostle John, brought up regarding that was John the Baptist's statement that Christ was before me, or he existed before me. But yet we know from the other gospels that John was born 6 months before Jesus' human birth. And so for Christ to be before John the Baptist, he had to exist before John the Baptist. And this is one of the ways that John the Baptist bore testimony to Christ's pre-human existence. We want to look at now another passage in chapter 3. We're going to focus on chapter 3 of John's gospel here. I've got on the screen in front of you, I've got John chapter 3 verses 9 through 13. And then I've got John 3, 31 through 32, and then John 8, 38. These are the passages we're going to focus on. Look at the first one. This is the dialogue that Jesus had with Nicodemus. The Apostle John is including this dialogue because what he's doing is he is adding quotations from Jesus himself, first person quotes, that where Jesus himself indicated his pre-human existence. And this is one of those places. There's quite a few places actually in the Gospel of John where the author quotes Jesus affirming these points. But let's look at this one first. All right, so John chapter 3, 9 through 13 says this: "Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How are these things able to occur?' Jesus responded and said to him, 'You are a teacher of Israel and do not know these things. Truly, truly, I tell you, that which we have seen, we are speaking, and you do not receive our witness.'" I'm going to pause here for just a minute. I want you to note the words that I have highlighted: we, and our. These are first person plural pronouns. And Jesus, note carefully what Jesus is saying: "That which we have heard." So he's talking about not only himself, but someone else. And that someone else we'll see is John the Baptist, right? Because John the Baptist and Jesus both were preaching the same gospel of the kingdom, right? So he says, "That which we have seen, we are speaking." That is Jesus and John the Baptist. and you do not receive our witness. Now I want you to notice the switch to the first person singular, which I have highlighted in blue here. If not we, but if I told you the terrestrial things, that is the things of this earth, and you are disbelieving, how will you believe if I, not we, if I should tell you the celestial things, that is the things of heaven? All right, this is really, really important that you grasp what Jesus is doing here. He first is saying that both he and John the Baptist are witnessing to what they have seen and heard, but now he limits the heavenly things, that is testifying concerning the celestial things, he limits the witness of that to himself alone, not to John the Baptist. You see, he's excluding John the Baptist by switching here to the first person singular pronouns. All right, you see that? We have seen, we are speaking, you do not receive our witness. Then Jesus says, if I told you the terrestrial things you are disbelieving, how do you believe if I should tell you the celestial things? Now, verse 13 is disputed. You'll find commentaries giving all kinds of different interpretations of this, depending on whether the person, the commentator, is a Trinitarian or if he is a Unitarian or if he is something else. You're going to see a wide variety of interpretations of verse 13. One of the biggest questions that has to be solved right off the bat is whether verse 13 and the verses that follow it are the Apostle John's commentary on what Jesus had just said to Nicodemus up here, or whether these are Jesus' own words. In other words, the quotation mark should not end here, and that these words continuing on in the verses that follow are the words of Jesus. Now, if you look at a lot of different Bibles, especially the red letter editions of the Bible, you will see sometimes they will place this in red letters as though it's the words of Christ, sometimes not. And this is one of the things that's disputed about verse 13. The other point that's disputed about verse 13 is these words that I have here in brackets. We'll discuss that in a minute, but let's first look at verse 13 carefully. He says, "And no one has ascended into the sky or into heaven except the one who descended out of the sky," or descended from heaven is what most translations say, "the Son of Man, who is in heaven," or who is in the sky. What you'll find is like the NASB, the NIV, and several other translations do not include this last clause. And I have to be honest, this last clause is not in the oldest manuscripts. We see it appearing a little bit later. So it's not likely that this was originally what John wrote. So what are the difficulties regarding verse 13? Well, the first difficulty is the words I have translated here, "has ascended." In the Greek text, this is a perfect tense indicative verb. Well, what does that mean? A perfect tense verb describes the result of an action that continues to the present. In other words, ascended, if he just wanted to say no one ascended, they would use the aorist indicative. That simply would refer to an event. But by putting it in the perfect tense, no one has ascended, the tense of the verb requires that there is a state of being that is the result of him ascending that continues to the present when this was written down by John or spoken by Jesus, depending on which interpretation you want to put there. All right. So what does that mean? It means that when it says no one has ascended, this perfect tense indicative verb means that when he ascended, he is still there. All right. The resulting state of ascending is that he is in heaven. All right. That would be the resulting state, and he would have to be there. Now, if you read a lot of commentaries, especially those by Trinitarians, they have some of the most bizarre interpretations of this, as though this statement was affirming the deity, what they call the deity of Christ, that is, that Christ is fully God at the same time that he was on earth as the Son of Man. And by being fully God, that means he could be everywhere at once, right? Omnipresent, as the Father can be omnipresent. Therefore, Trinitarians will claim that the Son can be everywhere at once also. And so what they would say is that what Jesus is saying here is that he's referring to himself. No one has ascended into the sky except the one who descended out of the sky, the Son of Man. How could Christ be in heaven at the same time he was on earth speaking? But this is the interpretation you will see from some Trinitarian commentaries. All right. It's actually quite absurd. It is not the interpretation that flows easily from this text. It has to be imposed on the text. Now, my view and the view of some others is that verse 13 and following is the Apostle John's commentary on what Jesus said. That is, the quote from Jesus actually ends right here. All right, so he's saying to Nicodemus, if I told you terrestrial things and you are disbelieving, how will you believe if I should tell you the celestial things? That is, what's happened in heaven as well. And so Jesus' quote ends here. And then John the Apostle, who's writing this, adds his editorial comments, which is to explain how Jesus could say this to Nicodemus. How could Jesus tell Nicodemus that he's going to tell him the celestial things, that is, the things that have happened or are happening in heaven? How would he be able to do that? And so the Apostle John adds this statement: no one has ascended into the sky except the one who descended out of the sky, the Son of Man. So what John is saying is that the reason that Jesus is able to tell Nicodemus of the celestial things is because he was there. He was in heaven. He descended from heaven. And so because he was in heaven, he descended from heaven, he has knowledge of the things of heaven that he heard and saw in heaven. All right, that's the point that this passage is making. What's really critically important is that you understand that has ascended is perfect tense, and that means that when Christ ascended to heaven, which we know he did bodily in Acts chapter 1, right? When he ascended to heaven, he remains in heaven. That's what the perfect tense of the verb requires here. And that's probably the reason why we have some manuscripts, some later manuscripts, adding this clause right here, who is in the sky. Because if these words were Jesus' own words, he would not be able to say this. You see that? This would be foolish. So probably what's occurred here is later scribes, realizing that this verse could be interpreted as Jesus' own words rather than John's commentary on Jesus' words, they added this clause, which emphasizes actually, or brings out very clearly, what the perfect tense of this verb here only implies. All right, well, it requires, but it can be easily missed that no one has ascended means he's still, after ascending, he remains in heaven. That's what the verb tense requires. I hope you guys are following my point there. All right, so that would explain why this clause shows up in later manuscripts. It's making sure no one is going to assume that these are the words of Jesus himself. All right, so let's just back up now and just kind of summarize what is being said in these verses. So Nicodemus is questioning Jesus, and Jesus is talking about himself and John the Baptist, testifying to things that they were sent to proclaim. Jesus refers to sort of in a little bit of a cryptic way, refers to telling Nicodemus about things of heaven. And now John tells us why. John adds his comment here, his editorial comment, to explain to us why Jesus can speak of celestial things to Nicodemus or to anyone else. And that is because no one has ascended into the sky except the one who descended out of the sky, the Son of Man. Now, another thing to keep in mind about this verse is that we have two opposite actions being juxtaposed to each other, right? Has ascended into the sky or has ascended into heaven is the exact opposite of descended out of heaven or out of the sky. It's the exact opposite. These things have to be both be literal. What you're going to find is that biblical Unitarians will try to make one of these literal. Obviously, we know he ascended into heaven. That's stated in Acts chapter 1. You know, he was, his disciples saw him, and the angels said, the same Jesus who was taken up from you will come in like manner as you have seen him go. So he ascended bodily into heaven. And so this is clearly meant literally, because this statement is juxtaposed with that. That is, it's intended to portray the opposite meaning. If this statement is literal, this statement must also be literal. Otherwise, you're comparing apples and oranges. If this descending out of the sky or descending from heaven is some sort of metaphor for, you know, God being the source of Christ or God commissioning him out in the desert someplace or something like that, descended out of the sky would have to be a metaphor. It couldn't be interpreted literally, right? But because these are juxtaposed and they're opposites, both have to be literal. All right, that's enough said of that. Also, I read in some of the Trinitarian commentaries that some of the old Socinians, which are sort of the ancestors of biblical Unitarians, that some of them, in order to get around this verse, they explained it as sometime after Jesus' birth, prior to him starting his ministry, that God caught him up into the sky, into heaven, to show him some things. And then he came back, then he came down to earth, and therefore he can, this verse is talking about his prior ascension, prior to his ministry, and not his ascension after his resurrection. Okay, so that was one of the ways that those Socinians kind of got around that. They denied that Christ had any pre-human existence at all. The problem with that, again, is this fact that this is in the perfect tense. Has ascended means this action of ascending, that the state that exists because of that action is still current when this was written or spoken. So he would have had to ascend and stay there and not come back. All right, so that wouldn't that won't work. That explanation simply won't work. The Trinitarian explanation is nonsense. The Socinian explanation will not work. The only explanation that makes any sense at all is this very basic idea that the same one who ascended, this is John's commentary, written after the fact, first descended out of the sky, okay, or descended from heaven. And we see the same thing here in Ephesians 4, verse 9. I'm going to go ahead and read that to you from the New King James Version. But in Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, he quotes from Psalm 68. It says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And now Paul interprets this. He says, now this, he ascended, quote, what does it mean? But that he also first descended to the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. The important point there with Paul's statement is that Christ first descended and then he ascended. He puts it in a sequence, right? So that is the exact opposite of the Socinian interpretation of this, that Christ didn't exist before his birth in Bethlehem, and that he afterward ascended, saw some things in heaven, and then came down. Well, Paul says the opposite. He says first he descended, and then he ascended. All right, that's the critical point that I wanted you to see there. All right, now, if you skip down in John chapter 3 to verse 31, we see that in this section, the Apostle John is writing about John the Baptist, and he's quoting John the Baptist again to bring to bear the testimony of John the Baptist on Christ's pre-human existence. And so this is what it says. These are the words of John the Baptist. The one coming from above is over all. The one being out of the land or the earth is out of the land and speaks out of the land or out or from the earth. The one coming out of heaven or out of the sky is over all. Now notice the next statement. What he has seen and heard, this is what he testifies, and his testimony no one is accepting. Now I want you to notice the parallels in this section here to what Jesus said to Nicodemus up here. Notice the testifying and then the disbelieving, right? Here's the what he has seen and heard, this is what he testifies, the same thing he said to Nicodemus. And his testimony no one is accepting. Again, the same here. He's talking about, Jesus here was talking about the fact that the Jewish leadership did not accept the testimony there, right? So these statements are parallel. These come from Jesus himself. These come from John the Baptist bearing witness to what Jesus set up here. But I want you to notice how clear he is, right? We have here we have no one has ascended into the sky, Jesus' words, except the one who descended out of the sky. Then here, John the Baptist's words, the one coming from above is over all. The one being out of the land is out of the land and speaks out of the land. The one coming out of heaven or the sky is over all. So he's coming down from heaven, and then he's testifying about heaven. What he has seen and heard, that is what he saw and heard in heaven, this is what he testifies, and his testimony no one is accepting. So the point in both of these sections, the quote from Jesus himself, and then the quote from John the Baptist, the point in both of these is that Jesus is the sole eyewitness of the things in heaven because he was there. Right, he was there and he can testify to what he saw, what he heard in heaven. Now we have a similar statement here in John chapter 8 verse 38. This is also from the LGV. It says, this is Jesus speaking again to the scribes and Pharisees. That which I have seen beside my Father, I speak. And you also then, things you heard from your father are doing. You're doing the deeds of your father. What's important here is this statement. Let me get my cursor working right here. There we go. I want you to notice the word beside here. This is the preposition para in Greek. The preposition para, when it has an object that's in the dative case, which this is in the Greek text, it's in the dative case. Don't need to worry about what that means. Just understand that when it is in the dative case, it means beside, in the presence of. So what Jesus is saying, that which I have seen beside or in the presence of my Father, I speak. And you also then, things you heard, and here we have para again, but it takes a object in the genitive case, and that means from. the things you heard from your father are doing. So he does not, he's not saying that they saw Satan. He's talking about Satan here, obviously, their father. Your father, the devil, he says in this same passage. He's not saying they were with Satan personally. But here he is clearly saying, Jesus is clearly saying that he was beside or with the Father, and that he observed the things with the Father, and this is what he is testifying to and he is speaking to, right? So all of these statements, this whole section to Nicodemus, this whole section, a quote from John the Baptist, and now another quote from Jesus himself, all of these are saying the same thing. They're saying that Jesus is an accurate eyewitness of the things in heaven because he was there. All right, that's the critical point. It's because he was there. All of these this statement here indicates that he was there. This statement indicates that he was there. And this statement also indicates that he was there because it says he was beside the Father, which would automatically imply in heaven. All right? All right, so again, all these statements indicate the same thing. Jesus is the faithful eyewitness to what has happened in heaven and what he has heard while in heaven before he came down from heaven. All right, that's the critical point. All right, that's it for today, and we'll see you next time. God bless.